smarted.
I say, gentlemen, let's call this meeting of the Curious Chemist Club to order. Antoine Lavoisier of France.
Present.
Johann Wolfgang Derbreiner of Germany.
Here, meat snacks. Soft pretzel, anyone?
Dmitry Mendeleev of Russia.
Duh.
And, of course, I'm John Newlands of Great Britain. As important chemistry scholars, it is up to us to put the elements in some kind of order.
Psst. Excuse me, gentlemen. Trusty narrator here, representing Who Smarted?
Who Smelted?
Wasn't me.
No, it's a podcast for all the smarty pants of the world. Speaking of, when all you world-renowned chemists were conducting your work on the elements between the years 1789 and 1869, did you actually know each other?
No. We did not hang out, or nerd out, as the kids say. But for purposes of explanation, this seemed more fun.
And we were all aware of each other's work. After all, we were striving toward a common goal.
Yes, to organize the elements into an easy-to-read pyramid.
No. It should be a magnificent pie chart.
I think not. A ladder with elements listed in order of importance would clearly be best.
Yet, it needs to be a table.
Ah, but why did these clever chemists feel the need to categorize the elements in the first place? How did they arrive at the periodic table as we know it? And how the heck are we supposed to read this thing? It's time for another whiff of science on
Who Smarted? Who Smarted? Who's smart? Is it you? Is it me? Is it science or history? Listen up, everyone. We've been smarting. Lots of fun on Who's Smarted?
Psst. Hey, smarty pants. When it comes to the periodic table of the elements, have you ever wondered why?
Ah, yes. Around 1789, I thought to myself, Antoine, we've discovered a significant number of elements. Well done, us. And many share similar characteristics. Wouldn't it be wonderful to put them in some kind of chart? We could group elements with similar properties together to quickly recognize important information used to balance chemical equations.
You thought of all of that?
Well, it is my job. And then I tried grouping them by metal and nonmetals, lead over here. Hydrogen over there. Iron over there. Neon over there.
But that wasn't enough. 40 years after Antoine started creating categories, I thought to myself, Johann, many of these elements share similar physical or chemical properties. What if I stack them in triads, or little pyramids of three, in order of atomic weight?
Ooh, that's exciting. But wait, why does atomic weight matter?
The atomic weight is important because most chemical reactions are directly related to the numerical relationships among the atoms within the elements.
Smarty pants, to clarify, elements are made up of what's known as atoms. In fact, everything is made up of atoms. Atoms, as some of you know, are teeny tiny units you can't see, but they are the building blocks that make up all of the matter in the universe.
Whoa.
And each atom is made up of three particles: protons, neutrons, and electrons. Protons are positively charged particles located in the center or nucleus of an atom. Neutrons are also located in the nucleus, but they don't have a charge. And electrons are negatively charged particles which orbit around the nucleus.
The atomic mass is the number of protons plus the number of neutrons in the nucleus of one individual tiny atom of an element.
And the atomic weight is calculated by averaging all the variations of that element as it occurs in nature. The difference is tricky, but they are usually similar numbers.
In 1860, at the first International Conference of Chemistry in Germany, It was decided that hydrogen, the lightest and most abundant element, would be assigned the atomic weight of one. And all other elements would be labeled in comparison to hydrogen. Then, in 1865, I thought to myself, John, elements with similar properties can be grouped into sets of eight. I'll call it the law of octaves, and arrange the elements in increasing order of atomic mass.
I see. What about you, Dimitri? Did you talk to yourself too?
Yet, the solution came to me in a flash. In 1869, I arranged the 63 known elements according to their atomic weight in a table. And I left a gap for the elements that were not yet to be discovered, huh?
Well, however it came to you, Dimitri, you're credited with coming up with the earliest version of the periodic table that we now use. Great job.
Thanks. I'm awesome.
In 1870, German chemist Lothar Meyer produced a similar version of the periodic table, also leaving gaps for new elements. Later in the decade, some of those gaps were filled by elements that Dimitri had predicted: gallium, scandium, and germanium. And in 1955, the 101st element would be named Mendelevium in Dmitri Mendeleev's honor. But Smarty Pants, do you know why it's called the periodic table? Is it because there's lots of periods in it? Because it was invented during the Reconstruction period? Or because the elements occur in nature in regular intervals or periods?
It's called the periodic table because the elements occur in regular intervals or periods.
In other words, the properties of the elements are fairly predictable.
I'll explain further. The number of protons in an atom determines that element's atomic number. A carbon atom, for example, has 6 protons, so its atomic number is...
What do you say, Smarty Pants? Did you say 6? Great!
The periodic table lists the elements in order of ascending atomic number.
Ascending, meaning starting with the smallest number and going up. Do you remember which element had the smallest number? That's right. Hydrogen is number one.
We're number one! We're number one!
Yes, hydrogen, you're number one.
And number 101 was named after me.
Uh-huh. Mendelevium is number 101. But Smarty Pants, how many elements in total are on the periodic table now? Are there A, 101, B, 118, C, 140, or D, 202?
I say 140.
No. While there are elements numbering up to 140 that are being studied and considered, there are currently only 118 elements that have been identified and proven to be worthy of periodic table status. So the answer is 118 elements.
We're number 118! We're number 118!
Yes, Ogenison, you're number 118. Now, the 118 elements on the periodic table are further divided into categories. Dimitri, care to explain?
The horizontal rows are called periods. The table has 7 periods. Elements are placed in different periods to represent how many electron orbits they have, starting with the lowest.
So imagine an atom is like our solar system. The nucleus of the atom is the sun, and the electrons are the planets orbiting around it. These electron orbits are known as shells. All of the elements in a row, or period, on the chart have the same number of electron shells. Hydrogen and helium only have 1, so they're at the very top. The bottom row, beginning with francium, contains 32 elements that have 7 shells. But that's not all.
The 18 vertical, or up and down columns, called groups, arrange elements that look and behave similarly because they have the same number of electrons on their outermost shell. Unlike a planetary orbit, a shell can hold more than one electron.
elements are also split into metal and non-metal groups. Metal elements are especially good at conducting electricity and heat. Most of the non-metals are clear, odorless gases. Lots of these elements are in the air you breathe, like oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and argon. The metals are further subcategorized by their chemical behavior. Subgroups include alkali metals, alkali earth metals, lanthanides, actinides, transition metals, post-transition metals, and metalloids.
The non-metals are divided into halogens, noble gases, and others, which include helium and hydrogen.
Whoa, 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 whoa! You expect me and the Smarty Pants to remember all of that?
Of course not. That's why I create periodic table for you. Duh.
As more elements are proven, the table grows and the groups expand. That's why they're color-coded. Those rows at the bottom, they're metals in the groups lanthanide and actinide. But chemists ran out of room. So they still have a spot on the periodic table, but we moved them down below to save space.
Okay, so let's recap. There's 118 elements, each with an atomic number, representing the number of protons in their nucleus. They're arranged in periods, or rows, representing the number of electron shells, and groups, now color-coded, to represent common chemical properties. Is that right?
Nailed it! It's great to know and remember the elements, especially if you're a chemist. But there's a lot to remember. And new elements could be added at any time, so it's handy to have a table for reference.
Nice. But wait, I noticed the elements in the periodic table are all abbreviated with letters. And most of them make sense, like hydrogen is H, and helium is HE. But some are kind of weird, like gold is AU and silver is AG. What is that about?
There is a reason for that.
And we'll find out right after this quick break. Now back to Who Smarted. Smarty Pants, if you've ever looked at a periodic table, you've noticed how each element gets its own little box. Thanks to our chemist friends, you know now why the boxes are organized the way they are. But what about the numbers and letters inside each box?
In the center of each box is a one or two letter symbol representing the element's name. There's O for oxygen, Ni for nickel, Mg for magnesium, and Fe for iron.
Whoa, whoa, wait. Fe for iron? There's no F or E in iron. Why isn't it I or IR?
Often, the chemical symbol is derived from an earlier name for an element. In this case, the Latin word for iron, which is ferrum. Thus, Fe. Gold comes from the Latin aurum, so Au. And lead in Latin is plumbum, so Pb. Some elements are named by the chemists who discovered them, and their symbols are based on their original names. For example, potassium was discovered by the German chemist Martin Heinrich Klaproth. Only he called it kalium, which is why the symbol for potassium is K. Some names are descriptive, like Br for bromine, and the Greek word bromos, meaning stinky.
Maybe they should have named it PU.
Ha! Well played, narrator.
Thanks, but it is all a little confusing.
Duh! That is why we use the periodic table.
Because there are scientists all over the world discovering, studying, combining, and manipulating elements. It's good to have one periodic table to reference, share, and update all the information about the known elements.
when celebrating the 150th anniversary of my early periodic table, the United Nations Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, wrote, "The periodic table is essentially a window on the universe, helping to expand our understanding of the world around us."
Since it describes atoms and atoms make up everything, they're probably right.
Ahem. Not that you haven't done great work, Dimitri, old boy. But let's not forget, there have been many contributors to your periodic table.
Of course. And probably some smarty pants listening will contribute even more, and then we'll have to make a bigger periodic table.
You're listening to ICANN Radio's Thanksgiving special, and I'm here with my good friend Sarah.
And I'm here with my good friend Stephen.
And we're going to invite some more friends to the table in just a little while, right after this.